The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum. Now, this morning I have with me here Daryl Purvis. And Daryl has got a great story, you know, a story of survival, a story of courage, a story of overcoming the odds, not unlike a lot of, you know, unsung heroes in our community. And, you know, that's what we're all about here on this show and on WYBC. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great.
Get that mic a little up there. Yeah. Okay, there you go. I'm so glad that you came. You know, we first met when at back to school, you know,
yes.
at our back to school event, you were doing free haircuts.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
You know, for all the young kids that were coming through. And we thank you for that, brother.
You're quite welcome. You know, it was an honor to be there.
Yes, yes. We thank you. And then as me and you talk some more, you know, we realize that we have a lot in common.
Yes.
You know, and that you had a story, you know, and you have a story that I think is extremely inspirational. And that's the reason why I brought you on the air today, you know. So tell me, you grew up in New Haven.
Yes, I grew up in Church Street South. Went to the school there, Prince Street School. Yes, the jungle. Yes.
Yeah, big up Church Street South, man. Yes. Oh, man, they tearing it down, man. Whoa. Yes. You know, I know that's hard for you and everybody else that lived there.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
because it's history. We hold history there.
Yes,
our childhood, and we had
some great times. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yes, we had a great childhood there.
Right. So tell me about growing up in Church Street South, man.
Growing up in Church Street South was great. You know, I met a lot of people growing up with. Love them. I see that some have moved on, moved down south.
Yes,
moved up north, and some have come back and that's still here. And thank God I can still be friends with them.
Right.
And they come into the shop, the barber shop, and get their hair cut.
Yeah, and by the way, I just want to let people know that, you know, Daryl has a barber shop. It's called Godly Cuts. It's on 1202 Dixwell Avenue in Hamden, right in our community. And he's been doing some great work there for the last 4 years. But he's not just a barber, man. This is a brother, you know, who believes in the Lord. And it's a brother, you know, who's always trying to help folks in our community. And, you know, sometimes people, they look at our profession and they figure, okay, well, he's a barber. Well, no, he's a lot more than that. And you'll find that out as we continue to talk to him. So tell me about your family. Tell me about your family talk about your family.
I have a great family. I grew up in Church Street South, as we heard, and unfortunately, my mother got sick at the age of 7.
Wow.
So I lost a piece of my heart, practically all of my heart, just by losing my mother. But now that I look back, I see that it brought greatness out of me because my first love was my mother, the first person I've seen when I came out that womb. So I thank God for the love that she's had given me, and you know, it groomed me to be able to give love to others.
Yeah.
So
but that must have been tough, you know, growing up.
Yes, it was tough
for a young man, you know.
Yes.
So your dad took care of you?
I didn't know my dad until 21.
Oh. Okay.
And
so when your mom passed, you know, who took up the mantle?
Well, my two, three aunts took care of me.
Nice.
Practically all four of them.
Wow.
They took care of me, and I'm going to name them all.
Yes.
Deborah Purvis, Phyllis Young, Bessie Purvis, and Pearlie Mae Purvis.
Big ups to that, man.
My Aunt Pearl has moved on, but she played a great part in my life.
And she's watching the interview right now.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's so often, you know, people don't realize how we as African Americans, you know, how as families we step up, man.
Yes.
You know, it's a lot of negativity about our families and they say this and that and the other, but it's about how the other part of the story is about how we step up for each other.
Yes.
You know, and we overcome odds because of that, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, because they didn't have to do that, you know. Even though they're family, they didn't have to take a 7-year-old boy. You know what I mean?
Yes, they did.
They could have had you go into the system or whatever. But yes. that's great, man. So so now, school-wise, you know, talk about some of the middle school experiences and all of that.
Well, middle school, I after Prince Street School.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to go to Gold Street School that was in our district, Church Street South. And I did 1 year at Gold Street School. And then we moved out of Church Street South. And I took that kind of hard because I left behind some dear friends of mine.
Yes.
And we moved into the section of Winthrop Avenue,
mm-hmm.
where I had to go to Troop.
Right.
And there was a lot of kids there that was from Aspen Street. So I began to make new friends from Aspen Street and that area. So went to Troop Middle School.
Any teachers or any mentors around that went in Troop that you remember, you know, working with you?
Mr. Beatty, he was the principal.
Yes.
And he was an inspiration to me. Because I looked at him as a father figure, a hero, someone that stepped in, and he didn't play. Mr. Hunter, thank God for him. May God bless him.
Absolutely.
Continue to bless his soul and his life. The legacy that he left behind.
Yes, absolutely. Big Hunt, man. That's my man.
Yes, yes.
So that's great, man. So you went on. You had mentioned before, you know, to me though, that you actually went to Hillhouse, Lee, and Cross.
Yes,
so you alumni all three schools.
Yes.
So when they play each other, that's a tough thing.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. So 1 year I have to root for Hillhouse, and then the next year I'll root for Cross.
this is Juan Castillo. I'm speaking with Darryl Purvis, you know, one of our unsung heroes here in our community. He's a barber at Hampden Godly Cuts. You know, we're talking about his life and we're talking about, you know, how he's overcome a lot of obstacles. And, you know, we are now at the stage where, you know, we in his high school years and, you know, we're talking about, you know, the three high schools that he went to. So tell me, you know, what was high school like? I mean, going to three different schools, that must have been kind of tough, right? You know, trying to adjust to all those. Tell me, talk about that.
Yes, yes. When I got into high school, I went to my first year into Hillhouse. It was difficult because I had lost my mother at that time.
Okay.
So it was somewhat difficult adjusting to high school and adjusting to not ever going to see your mother again.
Yes.
So I was very troubled. I was very angry.
Mm.
And I got in some trouble, you know. I had to do the juvenile detention, long lane thing. And,
right.
You know, being in long lane, I picked up a skill there. I was, I think I was 13 or 14, where the gentleman that was cutting our hair there gave me a pair of clippers. And I'll never forget it. So I thank God for him wherever he may be, because he gave me my trade.
Wow.
Something that I love.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing. So what a great story. Yeah, God brought him into your life.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man.
So from Hillhouse,
yes.
They expelled me. I went to Long Lane. And when I got out, my aunt had moved. I was staying with my aunt, Deborah, at the time. She had moved, so I begin to go to Lehigh.
Mm-hmm.
From Lehigh, we moved again. I begin to go to Cross, and that's where I graduated from.
And it's interesting, you know, your aunts, they stuck with you through thick and thin, huh?
Through thick and thin. I love them dearly.
Wow.
Love them dearly.
That's great. So you went to Eli Whitney Tech as a post-grad to study what again?
Mechanical drawing. I wanted to be a architect. My aunt Deborah, she seen something in me As far as drawing, I have great drawing skills, and she thought it would be good that after I graduated high school, I go there. And it was because, like I said, I was a troubled youth, very angry because of my situation. And I got in trouble because I wanted to play with guns and got in some trouble out here on the streets of New Haven. Unfortunately, I got shot by one of New Haven's finest.
Really?
Yes, okay. At the age of 15.
Wow.
Yes.
After that, you know, what, you went to the hospital,
They took me to the hospital.
And did you get arrested? And you, was
yeah, I was arrested right. and went to court.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God I had my Didi, because she helped with me not having to do a lot of time.
Okay.
No one wants to do a lot of time.
Right, right.
And I was out here playing with the gun, robbing people, sticking up people.
That was because you mentioned earlier.
I was angry and I was rebelling.
Right, and then you also had a drug problem, right?
I mean, not at that time.
Oh, you not at that time. All right,
not so, at that time. So I was only 14, 15.
Okay, all right. So this, so the drug issues happened later.
Yes, in
right,
life, yes.
Right. So talk about that, you know, because I mean, I think that's a story that a lot of young people is, you know, it's a tale of caution, right?
Yes.
Talk about that, brother.
Yes, and coming to my addiction after being angry as a youth and feeling like I lost things and hearing sometimes people say, you know, God dealt him a bad hand. He's not going to make it to be 16 years old. And the day the police shot me was my 16th birthday.
Wow.
So thank God he didn't kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, you know, going to jail and the judge let me out. I went to jail for the summer. The judge let me out to go into Eli Whitney Tech as a post grad for mechanical drawing. That's how that went.
Right.
After that, you know, I was pretty good person going to school. I started hanging around my cousins, which was into sports and basketball. So
okay.
I started doing that with them. Thank God for them over in the Cedar Hill section where my Aunt Pearl lived. And I thank God for them because my Aunt Pearl had structure. So
yes.
I thank God for her and her kids, my cousins, and my Aunt Phyllis and her kids and husband. I thank God for each and every one of my family members that played a part in my life.
Right.
Going on to the drug addiction, I just thought that I can suppress the things that happened to me as a youth and suppress, you know, losing someone so dear to me.
Yeah.
Suppress the anger, just suppress things. So I seen the drugs starting off smoking weed. Then from the weed smoking, it would lead to the snorting, the cocaine. And from the cocaine, it led to the crack addiction. And the crack addiction led to heroin. So, and that didn't happen in 1 year. It happened in over 20 years of just suppressing the things that happened to me as a youth and just, you know, the hurt that I.
Yeah, yeah. And been you didn't have no therapy or nothing. You know, you were just trying to handle it on your own.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I got to understand that, you know. And yeah, so, how did you get out of that, man?
This last bit over 10 years ago, I went to jail. It was a 1 year bid, and I had a real bad heroin addiction, and I was gonna go on the methadone program over right. on Congress Avenue. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of hard for me because my sister worked there. So I would have to go in front of my sister every day. And just one night I was drunk and high. And just by God's grace, he allowed me to go to jail that evening before I was to go into the methadone program. And that's when I did that 1 year. And some people don't like jail, but I thank God for that jail cell, because that jail cell changed my life forever.
Right. Brother, your story is the same story that a lot of people in this community have had.
Yes.
You know, we don't know it. Probably on our families, we don't know anybody that has not been touched by drugs and some of the issues that we have in our community. And you sharing that with us is extremely, we're thankful for that, you know, and anybody that's listening right now is getting, you know, an education. And hopefully is being inspired, you know, not only if they might be getting high right now or someone in their family, and, you know, and they see that you could make it, right?
Yes,
you know, because
yes.
sometimes when people are in that kind of situation, everybody writes them off. And in some cases, that's something that you need to do. You
yes.
need to practice tough love.
Yes.
But by the same token, you know, I always tell folks that, you know, that you still got to give somebody hope. Right?
Yes.
Because what I hope, someone is going to die.
Yes.
Someone is not going to come back, right?
Yes.
And so you could practice tough love, but you could still give somebody hope.
Yes.
Like, look, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to give you any money. I'm not going to help you anymore because, you know, you don't want to help yourself.
Yes.
But by the same token, I still believe that you can kick it,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And that's the difference, right?
You
know,
it's
not one or the other,
yes.
right? You know
yes.
what I mean? And so, yeah, you know, and so pretty much, man, you know, jail became your drug program.
Yes, it did. It became a form of recovery.
Did you participate in any programs while you were there in terms?
No. I was acting up while I was in jail. I was acting up until about 7 months into the bed.
Yeah.
And them last couple of months, I just said, you know, God wouldn't want me to be acting like this. And, you know, I made a promise to God when I was released from this place that I'd do better.
So you prayed on it.
Yes.
And asked God to help you.
Yes, yes.
And he did.
Yes, I couldn't have done it without
him. So you didn't go into any treatment, you didn't do NA, none of that? None. And when you came home, did you do anything like that?
None.
And you haven't been back on drugs?
None.
Wow.
None.
Look, glory be to Jesus and what he did for you, brother.
Glory be to God. And one of the things is the temptations and living the streets and being out here, just getting out of jail. There are going to be people, places, and things that's going to confront you with your addiction problem. But the one thing that I was focused on is doing the right thing, because I began to love myself after all them years of, you know, and I'm getting a little emotional now, but I begin to love myself because I never loved myself. Being a kid, I didn't know how to love myself, but being a grown man, I realized that I am somebody and I don't have to continue hurting myself in such a way.
And brother, you know, that's the key. That's the key to all our problems.
Yes.
Right. You know, because I mean, you know, I think when you don't care about yourself, it's not just drugs, you know. It's also, you know, being a terrible person, you know, treating people badly. You know, people think that, well, you know, drugs is like, you know, you're a terrible person, right? But you don't have to do drugs in order for you to be a terrible person.
That's right.
And you don't need to use drugs just to realize that you need to change your life and some of the other things in your
life,
right?
That's right. True.
You know, but I just want to say, I'm speaking with Daryl Purvis. You know, he is a barber, works at, actually owns Godly Cuts, you know, on Dixwell Avenue in Hamden. And we're talking about his life, and, you know, we've just been discussing, you know, his addiction. We both getting emotional here, you know, because we're both, you know, kindred souls. You know, we've been through similar things. And, you know, and any time that, you know, that folks like us start talking about our past, it gets emotional. But, you know, that emotionality is what keeps us going.
Yes.
It allows us to tap into that, you know, to continue our quest to stay away from drugs and to try to help our community and do some good things. So, all right. So you come home and, you decide this is it.
Yes.
What goes down? Working, yeah. All that. Talk about that struggle, right?
I came home.
Yeah.
And I was staying with my sister. And when I came home, my sister told me, because I do believe she felt that I would fall back into my addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for my sister, Nicole Purvis, giving a shout out.
Absolutely.
To her. Thank God for her.
Yes.
Always been in my corner. She said, told me, I got 1 month to get myself together and to get my own place.
Tough love.
Yes.
Tough love. That's tough. That's hey.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And within that month, when I came out, I had a clinician because I had to seek therapy on the change of my emotions and what was going on with me.
Yeah.
So I have a clinician, and on 2 days before the month was over, my clinician called me and told me she had a place for me.
Okay.
So that worked out fine. And I want to give a shout out to my beautiful wife, Tamia Oliver Purvis, because through it all, for the last 25 years, she has been there for me through the ups and downs and the things that I have put her through. And I know that because I was there, she's a strong black woman.
Without judging.
Yes, yes, yes. So I thank God for her being there. And
it takes a special person, you know, to be with someone that is struggling. You know what I mean? That's true love.
Yes, right? Yes.
So, all right. So, you got a place, and how did you end up, you know, like cutting hair? You know, how did you end up coming back to that after you've been exposed?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, in my addiction, I continue to cut hair because that was one of the forms or ways to get some currency to be able
buy
to.
Some.
Go get some.
Yeah, there you go.
So I always cut hair, and most of my clients and the people that I did cut hair, some of them knew, some of them didn't know my addiction problems. And they always told me, yo, you, and I tell my story now,
yes.
Because I want to encourage somebody else or let them know that I went down that path before.
Right.
So they will always say, wow, I would have never knew. Because of my personality, I guess, because of the love that I have just for people, for my peers, just for mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. I have such a love in my heart for, people. It's just unbelievable.
Right. So how long have you been, have you had your, you know, your shop?
We've been at Golly Cuts for 3.5 years now.
Okay.
We're located at 1202 Dixwell Avenue. This is the home of the Golly Cuts.
Right.
We do take pride in our profession. We love when the mothers bring the young men in and the fathers bring the young men in, because this gives us an opportunity to just showcase what being a man is all about, mm-hmm. and being that example. So when you come into Golly Cuts, first thing that we teach our kids and some of the grown people too, when you enter a place, you always say hello. Hello, everybody. And we greet each other in love. You know, I have a problem with when someone enter a room and they don't speak.
Right.
Anywhere I go and everywhere I go, I show love and speaking and just letting people know how you doing. Hello, beautiful day, you know. So I think that's a great quality that we should all have.
And I know you don't have no profanity in there either.
Oh, none at all. Most of the people that come there love Godly Cuts because we don't pay. Only type of music we play there is just jazz. It has no words, and it just soothes the
Well, y'all
soul.
Listen to electric drum, though. So
we listen to electric drum every Saturday morning, and thank God for that because I have heard most of the stories that people have, and it has inspired me.
Great. Wonderful. Yes. That's why we do it. So, you know, I just want to let folks know also, I'm speaking with Darryl Purvis again, you know, Hamden, you know, he has Hamden Barbershop, Godly Cuts in Hamden. And, you know, now I understand why you came to me with this event, right?
Yes, yes.
This is, you know, you said, you know, YBC, you know, we do the fathers, you know, we do the fathers and daughters dance. And, you know, Darryl brought this idea to me that he wanted to do a mother's son dance.
Yes.
Right? You know, and it's going to be happening on September 24th at 4 p.m. I'm actually going to be there hosting. It's going to be at the West Haven Italian American Civic Association Club on Chase Lane in West Haven. And, you know, we're going to have Dexter Jones speak. We dinner entertainment and photos by Tunnel Vision. You know, we got my man DJ Diamond D in the house. He's going to be doing, you know, doing this thing. And, you know, I understand with your life story why you think mother and son dance is so important.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? You lost your mother very early.
Yes.
And, you know, and the bond between a mother and a son is something that is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Right. And I found that out. You know, you find that out. When you have kids and, you know, a mother's love is just unshakable and you can't get in the middle of that. If you try as a man, you in trouble.
Yes, yes.
You know, and it's not that, you know, they're about choosing, right? Because they got their man and that's their husband or whatever, you know, but that's her kids.
Yes, 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 yes.
You got to understand that.
And you got to love them too, no matter what and who and how they are.
Absolutely.
You have to love them too.
Absolutely. And that is the one quality that mothers have that, you know, if you know anything about mothers, you know they got that. And, you know, and so this dance is sort of, well, tell me what is, why, well, we know why now, right?
Yes,
you
yes.
know, but. What moved you to it?
What moved me to the mother and son dance is that all what we talked about, but I do believe that if we as a community, as a whole, come together and begin to enlighten our young men about chivalry, love, respect for one another, just open the door sometime. You see an old lady or just a lady coming in the door. Hold the door for our gentlemen. Hold the door. Let's hold the door for one another.
Right.
Let's pull out the chair. Pull out the chair for your significant other sometime or all the time if you choose to.
Right.
But let's be courteous to one another.
Yes.
And some of our young men sometimes just don't have that. So what we're trying to do is just be an example. I want as many people to come as possible. It's going to be some good food there. It's going to be some great entertainment. We have a great speaker, my brother Dexter Jones. We have a great DJ, and we will be walking a red carpet where everybody can take their photos by Tunnel Vision. So we have a great group of people there that is coming out, and it takes a village. When I say it takes a village, it takes each and every one of us to come together and try to just enlighten our young people.
And with that kind of atmosphere, all the things that you talked about, you know, you're going to be asking the young men to escort their mothers.
Yes.
To pull out the chair for
yes,
them.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
All of the things that you just finished talking about.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and What better way, you know, in a festive atmosphere for you to send out a message like that?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I believe in it, brother. When you told me about this, you know, the first thing I told you was, how can I help you?
Yes, yes, right? Yes,
you
yes,
know?
Yes.
And, you know, I lost my mother too, you know, not as early as you, you know, but too early, you know. So I understand, you know, with that void, right? But if you got a mother now, you're a young man, right?
Take care of her.
That's right. And this is a way for us to honor that bond, right?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And so that's what we're going to be doing on Sunday, September 24th. Brother, I want to thank you for coming. I want to thank you for sharing.
Yes, yes.
Right? You know, you know, we have we've created some change in our community just by having this conversation.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And to have the thousands of people that are listening this morning to hear your story and to really hopefully commit to creating change in our community through these kinds of things, man.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And to opening up the door and to open up the communication between us and young people to at least, you know, even if they brush us off, to not assume that you can't teach them and you can't show them, because most of it is about showing, right?
Yes.
You know, if you know, if you're a father or you a young man and you know you got younger kids and they boys or girls, and you know, you're opening up the door and, you know, you pulling out the seed and you know, you uplifting, you know, your significant other and whatever, they watching.
Yes, they are.
Right. You know, and that right there creates change. So sometimes it's not just talking about it.
That's right.
Right.
That's,
you know, it's showing and proving, you know. So I want to thank you again, man. Now, you know, folks can get tickets at your number here.
Yes.
203-589-7701.
Yes.
You know, WYBC is co-sponsoring this event along, you know, with the Fishers program, you know. And so, again, West Haven Italian American Club at 85 Chase Lane. This is going to be on Sunday, September 24th, and it's going to start at 4 o'clock. Right?
4 o'clock.
That's right. So, you know, you go on and get your tickets. You know, we want this to be a very successful event, and we're hoping that, you know, the community, you know, response to this, because there's people always talking about, you know, what, you know, ain't nobody doing nothing, you know. Well, I know for a fact there's a lot of people doing stuff here.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
and it and it's about supporting the people that are trying to do something.
That's right.
And so I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate what you're doing and your whole team, because this takes a team effort.
It takes a team.
Yeah, right. You know, why don't you shout out a couple of the people that are helping you with this?
I want to shout out, first of all, like I said, to my wife, Tamia Oliver Purvis. I want to shout out to Fisher Team. Fisher is means faith-inspired servants, helping everyone reach services.
Nice.
So one of the things that we do is help direct people to the services that they may need, may it be something to eat, a shelter, a job, and we want to point people in the right direction. So I give a shout out to Team Fishers. I give a shout out to my kids, each and every one of them. Dejan Purvis, Dante Purvis, and Daryl Purvis, and Deshaun Oliver. I want to give a shout out to each and every one of them. I love them with all my heart. I want to give a shout out to my siblings. I want to give a shout out to my aunt, my families, my cousins. I want to give a shout out to my community that allow me to come out and be able to change a heart and change a mind in the way we do things towards each other. So if I can say something, I would say, let's just love on one another.
Well, and on that note, this is the Electric Drum. I know you have been inspired. Thank you so much, Daryl, you know, for coming in, man. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Juan. You have been a great inspiration to me, too, over the years, just watching you. And I know we haven't met since last year with the book bag giveaway. But I thank you for allowing me to come in and be a service with you. And we will be there this year if you guys are doing it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Take care. My brother. Juan Castillo, this is the Electric Drum. I know you've been inspired today. Listen, we will see you next week for another inspiring story from our community. It's the Rhythm of the City, 94.3 WYBC.